I have a coworker in Taiwan who is Japanese. He told me that there was a church in Japan that was associated with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And this church decided one day, we emphasize the name of God very much, but let's study the book of Acts. What name is emphasized in the book of Acts? And for 6 months, they didn't study anything else. They only studied this one topic. And they looked through the book of Acts, and again they saw the name of Jesus praised, the name of Jesus upheld, the name of Jesus governing everything. And after 6 months, their congregation left the Jehovah's Witnesses and became a Protestant congregation. When my coworker told me that, I was very curious. I want to see what the book of Acts says. What did they find when they looked at the book of Acts? And so I began with chapter 1. And if you open your bulletin, you can pull out this sheet that I've prepared for you. These are just Bible verses. They're just Bible verses. And what I would like to challenge you is to go home this week and you read the book of Acts and see if I've done a good job. I have found these verses that talk about the name. Now, if you want me to give you a 3-point outline, I'll say the first verse is my first point. The middle, many verses, are my second point. And then the last verse is my third point. The first point is, for whom are we a witness? And then from the second to the second to last, I'm saying, in whose name do we serve? And then in the last verse, who is our God? Let's look at the first verse. And if you would, turn with me in the book of Acts to chapter 1. Jesus had come to earth. He had taught his disciples. He had healed many people. He had died. He had risen. And now he was getting ready to go back to heaven. But before he left for heaven, he said to his disciples, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And we as Christians today look at this verse and say, we belong to that same group of disciples. What Jesus said to them back then, he is saying to us today. He's saying to us, you will be my witnesses at your home, in areas near where you live, and even far away. I want you to meditate on this verse. Everything that we do, no matter where we go, whether we're with our family, whether we are with friends, whether we are with strangers, whether we're at work, we are witnesses of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to be a witness of Jesus Christ? Sometimes people tell me, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. But I don't know what to say to somebody else about Jesus. I don't know how to witness for Christ. And so I like to say to people, let's say that this morning, I'm standing up here and I'm looking back there. All of you are looking forward. And let's say I saw somebody come in the back door and I saw someone hit someone else and then run out. Well, I'm not a citizen here. I don't know how things work. But let's say the police came and they asked every one of you, what happened? And all of you would say, we were looking forward. We didn't see what happened. And then if I would see the policeman and be afraid and say to you, quickly, tell me, what am I supposed to say? What advice would you give me? You would simply say, tell the policeman what you saw, right? You wouldn't tell me what to say. I'm the witness. I would merely tell the policeman what I saw. I wouldn't go investigate an encyclopedia. I wouldn't go research history. I would just tell the policeman what I saw. What I didn't see, I wouldn't say. So when you have a chance to testify for Jesus, say what you have seen and experienced. Who is Jesus? You say, well, Jesus is God. Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is my Savior. What did Jesus do? Well, he died. He rose again. Say what you know. One time a philosopher was talking to me, and he said to me, but what does that have to do with Neoplatonism? I don't know what Neoplatonism is, but I didn't tell him that. I just calmly looked at him and said, but I don't agree with Neoplatonism. And he was stunned at my answer. Well, I didn't know what I was saying. Whatever Neoplatonism is or isn't has nothing to do with my testifying to the gospel. The many times people ask us questions and we're shocked or we're surprised. No, you're not a teacher. You're not a philosopher. You are a witness. What you have seen, what you have heard, you simply state. Well, what did they see? What did they know in the book of Acts? Let's look at the second verse down to the second to last verse. We know the story in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were coming out of the temple. They saw a man there who couldn't walk. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. And then how did they heal him? What did they say? It's very simple, but very clear. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They weren't saying this in their name. They were not saying in the name of the church. They were not even giving a vague statement like, well, in the name of God. They were specific. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man did. Well, some people were not happy. Let's look at chapter 4. You'll need to look in your Bible because I don't have the full passage on my paper. In chapter 4, verse 12, we see that these disciples say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They are saying salvation comes through the name. Whose name? Look here at chapter 4, verse 12. Look ahead a little bit in 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. When people opposed what Peter and John had done, they said, we're being honest with you. We healed him in the name of Jesus. And there is no other name that will save you. So we as Christians today, we are witnesses to Jesus. And we tell other people, we tell anyone, no matter who that person is, there is salvation, but only in the name of Jesus. We are not preaching salvation in ourselves. We're not preaching our salvation in the name of anybody in human history. Only in the name of Jesus. Let's turn on to Acts chapter 5. We read here on my paper, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. But what did they do? The authorities said, you may go, but you may not preach in the name of Jesus. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were told not to preach in the name of Jesus, but they said, no, that is our one message. Now, why weren't they, what shall we call them, strategic? Why didn't they just preach religion? Oh, let's be spiritual. Why didn't they preach morality? Oh, let's all be nice. Why didn't they preach social ideas? Well, let's have strong families. The government would not have stopped them. They would not have been imprisoned. They would not have been beaten. But they said, no, we are preaching the name of Jesus Christ. That was their one message, and they would not stop. Let's move on to Acts chapter 8. We come to a group of people. They were believing. But it says in Acts chapter 8, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, the Holy Spirit, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. How were they baptized? In the name of Jesus. They were identifying with Jesus. I've traveled to many countries. Maybe you've traveled to many countries. I've met people from many different backgrounds. And what people want us to say is, well, this other religious leader is okay also. This other philosophy is okay also. You know, you can be saved if you just work hard enough. No. No. The message of the Bible is only in the name of Jesus. You must identify with Jesus Christ. And we see this in the book of Acts again and again and again. Everything that they did was in the name of Jesus. What is our name? Our name is Christian, right? Why are we not called churchgoers? Why are we not called theists? Why are we called Christians? Because we are not content merely to go to some religious organization. We are not content to just be people who believe in God. We identify with Jesus Christ. He came from heaven. He came to earth. He died for us. He rose again. He is the one that we identify with. In Acts chapter 8, we see Philip witnessing to a foreigner. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And what did he preach? He was reading the book of Isaiah. Why didn't he talk about Isaiah? Why didn't he talk about Elijah? Why didn't he talk about King David? No, he preached unto him Jesus. We as Christians have one message, and that message is Jesus. People will come to us, and they will be polite, and they will say, we like the philanthropic work that your church is doing. Please don't stop. We like the social work your church is doing. Please don't stop. We love your music. We love the medical work you do. But could you please just not mention Jesus? There are some Christians who say, wow, we can still do good if we just don't mention Jesus. And they surrender the key point of our message. We as Christians must go along with the book of Acts and say, no, we have one message. The message is Jesus. And because we believe in Jesus, therefore we do philanthropic work. Therefore we do medical work. Therefore we bring people to our church and we get along with each other. But if you take Jesus away, then there's nothing for us to do. Nothing will have any meaning. We have one message. Now, we just read Acts 9, and you'll see on my paper, 1, 2, 3, 4 of these passages are all from Acts 9, and so that's why I wanted us to read that passage. The Apostle Paul had been an unbeliever, and then he believed. And God sent Ananias to go and talk with him. And I think Ananias had to be rather brave. Here was Paul, who had been persecuting Christians, and now Ananias had to go talk to him in person, but he went. He obeyed. Look at Acts 9, verses 14 and 21. I have them right here. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Who is this? Jesus. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not he that destroyed them which called on this name? Who is the name that Paul was persecuting? Which name? It was the name of Jesus. And came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. Who was Paul persecuting? He was persecuting Jewish people. What was Paul? He was a Jewish person. If those Jewish people had just stopped mentioning Jesus, If they had said, okay, we're just going to open our Bibles, because all they had was the Old Testament, right? They only had the Old Testament. We're just going to open our Old Testament. We're going to talk about Moses. We're going to talk about David. We're going to talk about Solomon. If they had done that, Paul would have left them alone. But what was the one name he said you may not preach in? The name of Jesus. But now Paul, on the road to Damascus, came face to face with Jesus himself, and he believed in Jesus. And after that, Paul said, I have one message, and that is Jesus Christ crucified. What is your message? There are some people who say, well, I will just be nice. I would just spread joy. Okay. But in Acts 1:8, it says we are to be witnesses of Jesus. In the first century, all of these people were healing in the name of Jesus, proclaiming salvation in the name of Jesus, ministering in the name of Jesus, suffering for the name of Jesus, being baptized in the name of Jesus, preaching in the name of Jesus, calling on the name of Jesus. What are you doing? Are you sidestepping the center of our faith? Are you a Christian if you never talk about Christ? In Acts 9:15, the Lord says to Ananias, go thy way, for Paul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Who is this Lord that is talking to Ananias? It is Jesus. Ananias, you go to Paul. You go tell him. He is going to be a chosen vessel to spread my name, the name of Jesus, everywhere. We read Paul. We see what he talked about. He was not just out there spreading news. Oh, let's just talk about good news. Oh, let's just everybody get together and be happy. He was sharing one message. Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ rose again. As I travel around, I hear people in the church avoiding this message. People outside the church, of course, don't have this message. But people inside the church now, more and more, are saying, let's spread something else. Let's just spread love. But if we take Jesus away from our message, we will have nothing to spread. I used to work in a library. I was a very young man at that time. I made none of the decisions for the library. But our director was always buying old libraries. He was buying libraries from other people. What would happen is that there would be a seminary. It would start, and over 100, 200, maybe longer years, they would begin by preaching the gospel, and with time they would stop preaching the gospel. They would stop believing that Jesus was God. And another seminary would do the same thing. Well, both seminaries were losing students. So what they would do is they would combine seminaries and combine libraries. Well, then they would have all these extra books that they didn't need. So they would sell them to other libraries. With my own eyes, I saw, here's an institution that goes away from believing in Jesus. It used to believe in Jesus, and now it doesn't. And what happens? It shrinks. It disappears. Even though they were a so-called Christian organization, because they didn't believe in Jesus, they had nothing to spread. In Acts 9:16, Jesus is still talking to Ananias. He says, for I will show Paul how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul is going to go and preach. And Paul knew if he would just not mention Jesus, if he would just not mention the resurrection, everybody would treat him just fine. He could go to all the Jewish synagogues. He could preach from the Old Testament. No one would criticize him. But Paul suffered. Why did he suffer? Because he preached Jesus and because he preached Jesus died and rose again. That is our message today. In Acts 9, 27 to 28, we see them boldly preaching in the name of Jesus. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, how Paul had seen Jesus, right? And that Jesus had spoken to Paul. And how Paul had preached boldly at Damascus, what? In the name of Jesus. We know that Paul was an intelligent man. We know he was an educated man. All you have to do is to read his writings, especially Romans and Galatians. We know he knew how to express himself. I dare say that if Paul had talked on anything, we would have sat there spellbound. He was very intelligent. But the greatness of Paul was not his intelligence. The greatness of Paul was not his speech. The greatness of Paul was his message. His message was Jesus Christ. He preached boldly in the name of Jesus. In Acts 10:43, we see how people then and how people now receive forgiveness. To Jesus, give all the prophets witness that through Jesus' name, whosoever believeth in Jesus shall receive remission of sins. It's not enough that you just have this general attitude of, I'm sorry. Oh, I need to repent. No, we need to come before Jesus and say, you have died on the cross for me. You have died for my sin. I believe in you. That is what we need to do. Many people around the world, they have an attitude of soberness. They have an attitude of sincerity, where when they know they've done something wrong, they say, I'm going to change. But that isn't enough. We must come before God and say, Jesus died for my sin. Let's skip on to Acts 19. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them. And what happened? As a result of what happened in Acts 19, what was the result? The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. As Christians, this is our goal. Our goal is not that we gain attention or that our name is built up. Our goal is that Jesus would be magnified. I like preaching on the topic of missions. And one day I was preaching in another church and I asked them, how many missionaries' names do you know? Let me ask you this morning, how many of you know the names of 10 missionaries? Please raise your hands. If you know the names of 10 missionaries, please raise your hand. No hands. Okay? How many of you know the names of 5 missionaries? Please raise your hand. I said to that congregation, I'll say to you also, many missionaries have served. Many missionaries have served. Many missionaries have come to Britain and have served over the centuries. And we have forgotten their names. But do you know how many of you have heard of Jesus Christ? Their message remains. They were successful. If everybody had remembered their name and forgotten Jesus Christ, they would have failed. But whatever happened, they served. And today we have forgotten their name. I went to Oxford 2 weeks ago. And I learned the name of somebody I'd never heard of before. Our guide there pronounced her name Frideswide. Has anybody here heard of Frideswide? Okay. In 800 AD, she was a missionary to Oxford. And he told us her story, and I've forgotten those details mainly. I remember her name. 200 years later, the church there was built. 400 years after she died, Oxford University was built. 1,200 years ago, this lady went to Oxford and spread Jesus Christ. And today they will show us, here's a grave. We've all forgotten her. But we've heard of Oxford, haven't we? What is the goal of your life? For you to be remembered, or for the name of the Lord Jesus to be magnified? Let's go on to Acts 21. The book of Acts is coming toward an end, and Paul answers, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem." But notice the next few words. It's not just that Paul is ready to die. He's ready to die for the name of Jesus. When I finished this study of the book of Acts, and I had gathered all of these verses, and then I read through all of these verses, it really struck me. And I urge you, please go and look at the whole book of Acts and see if I'm right. They're not just saying, I'm doing this in the name of God. They're not saying, I'm doing this in the name of the Holy Spirit. They're saying, I am living my life in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to witness in the name of Jesus. I'm going to heal in the name of Jesus. I'm going to be saved in the name of Jesus. I'm going to minister in the name of Jesus. I'm going to suffer for the name of Jesus. I'm going to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I'm going to preach in the name of Jesus. I'm going to call in the name of Jesus. I'm going to witness in the name of Jesus. I'm going to suffer for the name of Jesus. I'm going to boldly preach in the name of Jesus. I am forgiven by the name of Jesus. I'm going to magnify the name of Jesus. And I'm willing to die for the name of Jesus. This was the center of their life. What is the center of your life? Someone else very significant in the book of Acts that we always remember is the deacon Stephen. He preached. He testified to Christ. And we remember him because he was stoned to death. As the people began stoning him, what did he say? Let's look at the very bottom. And they stoned Stephen. But what was Stephen doing? He was calling upon God, but who is his God? Who is his God? And saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen could have just reflected his Jewish upbringing and said, I'm calling upon God. He wouldn't have to mention Jesus Christ. And nobody would have done anything to him. But he firmly believed God had come down to earth in the person of Jesus. Jesus had died. Jesus had risen. And Stephen stood up and proclaimed the message of Jesus to everyone. They killed him for it. We don't know what will happen in our lives. Now you say, in my life, I don't have these amazing things like a man rising up and walking. I don't have light from heaven like the Damascus Road. Nobody has thrown stones at me for believing in Jesus. How do I live my life for the name of Jesus? People watch you. And people are always thinking in their minds, I wonder why he did that. I was riding on the subway. Someone got on. A younger person got up and let that person sit down. What did I immediately think? Oh, because that person is younger, she got up and let the older person sit down. That went through my mind. We're always interpreting what other people are doing. Many people misunderstand what we do. Isn't that right? Maybe they assign to us motives that have never crossed our minds. What I want in our hearts today is for us to be thinking consciously, I am doing this for Jesus. Maybe it's something simple. One husband told me that every morning he wakes up and turns the coffee pot on for his wife. And he says, I do it in the name of Jesus. He consciously thinks, because of Jesus, I'm turning the coffee pot on for my wife, so that when she gets up, the coffee will be hot. This is in his mind. It's in his mind. He's thinking of it consciously. So he was being honest to tell me, that's why I turn the coffee pot on in the morning. I want to challenge you. Maybe it's something as simple as turning a coffee pot on. Maybe it's something as simple as greeting a stranger. Maybe it's something as simple as getting up from a seat on the tube and letting someone else sit down. Maybe it's something bigger. Maybe when there's a conflict, you choose a certain side for the name of Jesus. Or maybe you enter into a conflict that you don't want to for the name of Jesus. Or maybe somebody else says something about Jesus and you stand up and say, no, I'm a Christian. It may be something small. It may be something large. But I want to challenge you that everything you do this week, even your whole life, should be done in the name of Jesus. You are a witness to Jesus. People look at you and they draw conclusions about Jesus. As I travel different places, I see people in religious clothing, whatever their faith is. And I watch how they act. I watch how they interact with people at the counter. I watch how they handle strangers. I watch how they talk among themselves. And I say, oh, so that's how those people act. When people know that we are Christians, they are watching how you act, how I act. And everything that we do, we are doing in the name of Jesus. We are witnessing to Him. Someday, we will come to the point where we die. And the people around us will watch us and see how we die. If we are dying full of fear, if we are dying full of guilt, people will wonder, but I thought you were a Christian. If we die testifying to the name of Jesus Christ, we will leave a heritage to the people that know us. I work in a church. We often hold funerals. We hold funerals for people who don't attend our church. And it's very difficult for me as I stand behind the pulpit and I see this person in front of me and I don't know if that person is a Christian. I don't know. He has some link to our church, but I don't know his testimony at all. How can I tell the people attending this person lived for Christ? I don't know that. So may I give you a challenge? Live your life in such a way that when you die, nobody has to ask, was he a Christian? Live this week for the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Oh God, we have one goal, and that is to glorify you by magnifying Jesus Christ. We know that you have sent your Son, and you want us to bow before Him and praise Him, because in our doing so, you will receive glory. We thank you so very much for all you have done for us. Fill us with your Spirit so that we can preach boldly in the name of Christ, so that we can testify to the name of Jesus, and that we can, when the time comes, die for the name of Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.